Hey everyone, I'm coming to you from the youth room downstairs in the church. And my guess is that many of you have never even seen this room. Or if you have, it was because there was a potluck table full of food in it. Years ago, when I was running student ministry here at First Church, we called the group Soul Grows Student Ministry. The logo is still on the wall behind me. And if I do say so myself, this is still one of the coolest logos I've ever seen. I mean, Pastor Ron Miller's son designed it for us. Look at that. That just catches the eye. Anyways, if you've ever worked with student ministry, you know you've got to grab the attention of the kids before they'll listen. Still a necessity, even with grown-up church, right? So oftentimes, we'd ask the youth kids random questions, questions that piqued their interest. You know, something like this. Hey, do flashlights speak? Do flashlights speak? I mean, now I'm being serious, and this is a serious question. Do flashlights speak? Can they talk? I mean, most people would say no, correct? You don't put a flashlight up to your ear and hear an audible voice, do you? And if you do hear an audible voice, let me know. I know a great psychiatrist. Now, even though most people would say flashlights do not talk, I would beg to differ. You see, flashlights tell me where to go. They tell me where to go. Quick story. I'm a creature of habit. I walk the same path in my house every single time. I know where every piece of furniture is supposed to be. And I know the layout so well that if I lived in my house by myself, I'd never have to turn the lights on. But I live with a wife. I live with two sons. I live with three dogs. All this means that not everything is always exactly where it needs to be. A stool at the kitchen counter gets moved half inch away from the counter. The end table by the couch shifts when it's being used to put a drink down while watching TV. One dog picks up a bone, carries it to the middle of the room, and leaves it there for the night. I've had no luck teaching the dogs to return their toys, their bones, to the basket we have for said toys and bones. Things get moved from where they're supposed to be. And this means, you've got it, when I'm walking the exact same path from my room to the kitchen, to the hot water kettle, to get the water boiling for my morning tea, when it's still, oh, dark 30, I inevitably stub my toe on something. Now, I realize I could just flip the light switch, but that's hard on the eyes, especially early in the morning. So oftentimes I'll grab my cell phone, I'll push the little flashlight app, and I'll walk from my room to the kitchen listening to my flashlight. It tells me, without using words, step here. Don't step there. Watch out for that bone. See the moved stool? Though I have never, and I doubt I ever will, I've never audibly heard my flashlight speak, I most definitely listen to it. In the Bible, the psalmist writes this, Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Friends, does this book speak audibly? Can you hold it up to your ear and have sound waves vibrate in such a way that a noise is heard? No. But I would argue that God speaks very clearly through his word. And as we continue to learn to listen to God's voice, we need to make sure we're listening to his voice in here. Let's pray. Father God, it's been a long couple of months during this quarantine. We're tired, we miss meeting, we miss people, but we know that you're still in charge and you're moving and working. Lord, I look forward to what you want to what you want us to hear this morning. So I ask very purposefully that you would speak to us through your word today. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. How often have you heard myself or Tim or someone else in our church pray something like what I did at the end of that prayer? Speak to us through your word today. Now, how often do we say that in just a cliche transitional type of way to get us from the time of singing to the time of sitting listening to the sermon? I wonder how often we actually believe that prayer, that God could, he would, he does still speak to us through his word. We're in a sermon series titled, Can You Hear Me Now? Learning to Listen to God. So far, The first three sermons in this series have been pretty basic. Maybe pretty foundational is a better way of saying it. These first three sermons may have been a review for you in terms of practical things we can do in order to hear God's voice better. I mean, week one, I simply reminded you that God did speak to people in the Bible. And I reiterated the fact that we still long for God to continue speaking to us today. In week two, we began looking at the practical practices that we could do to help us learn to listen better. Now that week, we looked at the practice of stillness. Last week, we looked at the practice of silence. I do hope that you've been able to attempt these practices. And I encourage you to be engaging with others as to what you're experiencing in those attempts. This week, as I preach, I'm going to preach on something that many of you will say, well, duh, Pastor James, we knew God speaks like that. But friends, I can't do a sermon series on learning to listen to God and leave out a sermon on the ways that God speaks through Scripture. Growing up, often asked, does God still speak, right? Does he speak through these pages? And he absolutely does. Now, I realize I may be biased towards this way of God speaking because I grew up a missionary kid to Bible translators. When I'd asked my parents why they spent hours and now they've spent decades translating the Bible into the Northern Cheyenne language, they'd say something like this. James, we do this so that the Cheyenne Indians can hear God's voice in their own heart language. We translate so that God can speak to our brothers and sisters in their own native tongue. God does speak through the pages of Scripture. And I know that not everyone hears God super clearly when they read or study or learn from the Bible. But you know, when somebody first begins to follow Jesus, I'll tell them that one of the best ways they can learn to get to know God is through here. They can learn to get to know Jesus through here. I mean, getting into a regular, a daily routine of spending time in here, when you do it, and when it becomes a practice not just of checking a I read my Bible box, but a practice of listening, then I would say that this is still one of the best ways to listen to God and his voice. The Bible itself doesn't pull any punches when it speaks about how God speaks through it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. Next verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired, or God-breathed. It's inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, every word of God proves true. He is the shield to all who come to him for protection. And Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. Now, maybe one of my favorite verses about Scripture speaking is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful, alive and active. It is sharper than a sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Have you ever read something in here and simply been convicted or encouraged? Or maybe you were given a sense of peace that you didn't have before you started reading? This is all God's voice speaking to you through his word. The word of God is alive and active. It's not just some book from antiquity written by a bunch of male chauvinists trying to indoctrinate people into acting a specific way, a way that is outdated and no longer culturally relevant. This book, the voice of God through this book is very much alive and active. One of my favorite characters in the Bible was a kid king, a child king named Josiah. In fact, I like him so much that I named one of my sons after him. Anyways, he became king when he was 8 years old. You talk about pressure. 8-year-olds today They're trying to figure out which pair of Scooby-Doo underwear to put on in the morning. The 8-year-old Josiah was trying to figure out how to rule the country of Judah. Anyways, the country of Judah did not have a good recent history of kings. See, Josiah's dad and his grandpa, the past two kings, they were both bad dudes and both doing evil in the eyes of the Lord is what the text says. So Josiah didn't really have a good example to follow. And he inherits the kingdom at age 8. So what happens? Well, he does all he can to figure it out. 18 years into his reign as king, he's doing a construction project on the temple of the Lord. He's now 26 years old. That's an old king, right? Most 26-year-old males today are still trying to figure out which pair of Scooby-Doo underwear to put on for the morning. Josiah is doing this temple project when this happens. 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 8 to 10. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan, the court secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the Lord's temple." Then Hilkiah gave the scroll to Shaphan, and he read it. Shaphan went to the king and reported, "Your officials have turned over the money collected to the temple of the Lord and to the workers and the supervisors at the temple." Shaphan also told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a scroll." So Shaphan read it to the king. And what does this still young king do? I mean, from the written accounts that we have, I don't think Josiah ever sat on his dad's lap or his grandpa's lap and had the storybook Bible read to him. So this may be the first time he's ever heard of this scroll, or at least the first time he's ever seen a scroll of the Lord, which would have been the equivalent of a Bible back then. So what does this young king do? Well, let me read it to you. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 11 to 14. When the king heard what was written in the book of the law, he tore his clothes in despair. Then he gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Akbar son of Micaiah, Shaphan the court secretary, and Uzziah the king's personal advisor. Verse 13, "Go to the temple and speak to the Lord for me and the people and for all Judah. Inquire about the words written in this scroll that has been found. For the Lord's great anger is burning against us, because our ancestors have not obeyed the words in this scroll. We have not been doing everything it says we must do." Verse 14, "So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Akbar, Shaphan, and Uzziah went to the new quarter of Jerusalem to consult with the prophet Huldah. She was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, son of Harhas, the keeper of the temple wardrobe." Now, what response did these men get from the woman that they sought out to help them understand? Listen to this. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 15, the beginning part says this. "She said to them, 'The Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken.'" The Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken. And she goes on to tell them what message God was giving the king for him to hear. A message which led to a whole ton of nationwide reforms and a turning of the people back to God, at least for the time Josiah reigned as king. She said to them, "The Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken. Does a flashlight talk? Do these pages speak?" Yes, absolutely. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Psalm 119, verse 30, "The teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand." Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, "Look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark." This past Wednesday, we had an online live stream test run. Now, I realize not everybody knew about it. We did that on purpose in case it failed miserably. But I also sent out an email encouraging you to read Psalm 119, perhaps as part of your attempts of silence this past week. I spent some time reading it, and I had to count on my fingers and toes while reading this chapter. See, this is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's 176 verses long. It essentially is the psalmist's ode to the power of God's word, his ode to the love of God's word. Now, in this chapter, the psalmist describes God's voice through here as instructions, laws, commands, commandments, decrees, regulations, and your word. Your word, he says. Now, of the 176 verses, all but 22 of them make reference to those words I just mentioned. Instructions, decrees, commands. Of the 22 that don't specifically use those, 14 of them mention God's promises, which in Josiah's day, God's promises would have been found in different scrolls, like the one discovered in the temple. This means that of the 176 verses in this chapter in Psalms, only 8 do not specifically mention something about the psalmist's love of God's word, his laws, his decrees, his instructions. So the psalmist would not have batted an eye at all if asked if God's word spoke. Of course it does, he would have said. He believed that. Alive and active. A flash lamp to guide my feet. A flashlight for my path. When you open the pages of this book, I wonder how often God is asking us, can you hear me now? Because I'm trying to speak to you. Friends, let me let you in on a secret. When God speaks through the pages of this book, he doesn't always say the same thing to everybody. Alive and active is what Hebrews 4:12 says, right? Now, I know there are some people who say that every text has one specific meaning, and every text should only ever be interpreted in that one specific way, but that is not the case. Give 10 pastors a specific section to preach on, and you're going to get 10 very different sermons. Give 10 high school boys who are part of the former Soul Grow student ministry, give them a specific passage to read, ask them to describe what they read in 2 words, and you're going to get way more than the same 2 words. Am I right? I am. God can choose to speak to different people in different times, in different ways, through the same passage in the Bible. Case in point, let me share a recent time God spoke to my heart while I was reading a specific passage. Now, before I share this, you need to hear this, so listen carefully. When I spend time in God's Word, it's not like I open it up and I have a direct phone line to Jesus. It's not like I have God the Father on speed dial every time I read the Bible. The overwhelming majority of times I read, I don't hear anything. Sure, maybe I'll have an occasional, never noticed that before. Or, I like the way that's written. It's worded differently than I'm used to, you know, if I'm reading in a different translation. But you guys need to know that my time in Scripture is no more connected to God than your time in Scripture is. Yes, I may have 22 years of training, schooling, and practice as a pastor, as I practice reading Scripture, but please don't ever put me on a pedestal thinking, wow, it must be nice to have a direct line to God through the Bible like James does, because that is so not true. Okay? That being said, about 6 weeks ago, I had been slowly working my way through the Gospel of John. We were about a month into COVID-19, into the restrictions, and I was feeling the weight of leading the church through this unprecedented time. And this was a self-imposed weight that I was feeling. So I was in the Gospel of John, feeling very weighted down by the mantle of leadership, and that morning I read John chapter 8. I didn't get past the first 11 verses before I had to stop, to think, to pray. I mean, if you're not familiar with the story, I'll read it to you. John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So Jesus stood up again and said, "All right, stone her. But let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again, and he said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "Well, no, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Interesting passage, right? Especially interesting during a sermon on God speaking through the pages of Scripture. You see, I've heard many sermons on this passage. Some focus on not committing adultery. Most deal with things like not being judgmental and not being condemning. Some sermons have focused on Jesus's grace and forgiveness, while others focus on his challenge to the woman to go and live a changed life. I may have even heard a sermon focused on where in the world was the adulterous man in this story. Now, the morning I read this, about 6 weeks ago, I found myself thinking several thoughts. I thought about what it must have been like to be the woman, on display in front of everyone, everyone watching, everyone waiting to see what would happen, very exposed and vulnerable. As I thought about that, I realized I felt a little like that as it pertained to leading during COVID. Again, self-imposed feelings. In the middle, everyone watching, maybe a bit exposed and vulnerable, not knowing how Jesus would react to how I was leading. Now, my thoughts then shifted to a bit of jealousy towards the woman. You see, there she was. She had one-on-one focus with Jesus, a one-on-one meeting with him. She had his full attention. I mean, I can imagine their eyes being locked together as Jesus addressed the accusers without ever losing his gaze on the woman. And I could imagine this unfathomable love in his eyes that the woman must have felt at that time. I found myself desiring that same one-on-one, eyes locking, unfathomable love being shared between me and Jesus. Her focus was on Jesus. Jesus's focus was on him. I wanted that same thing. So I was jealous of her in that moment. And then, as so many others throughout history have done, I started wondering what Jesus wrote in the dirt. I mean, I could share with you what the scholarly answers of what people have said, people way smarter than me have said over the years. Bottom line is they're guessing, because we don't really know what Jesus wrote. What was he writing in the dirt? I mean, want to know what I sensed Jesus was writing? You want to know what I think he was drawing? And please don't email the superintendents and get me fired when I share this, okay? Want to know what I sensed Jesus was drawing? What I sensed in my heart that Jesus was saying to me in that moment? I think he was drawing a tic-tac-toe board. That's right, a tic-tac-toe board. And I think in that moment, with a playful gleam in his eyes, Jesus was inviting me to play with him. I mean, I kid you not. This all took place as I was reading John chapter 8 while feeling the weight of pastoral leadership. Jesus was saying to me through the word of God, he was saying, hey, James, you keep your eyes on me. Let me carry the weight. Today, you need to feel the lightheartedness of play. Jesus continued, now, James, I drew the board. It's your turn. Lighthearted, go. I've never heard a sermon on John chapter 8 where the pastor said Jesus drew a tic-tac-toe board, or where the sermon focused on Jesus sharing lightheartedness. I have no doubt, though, zero doubt in my mind, that that was the message that I needed to hear from God that day. In a non-audible, non-traditional, totally unexpected way, God spoke to me through the story in John chapter 8. Had God asked me that day if I heard him now, I could have answered, absolutely, Father, I hear you loud and clear. That day, God held out a figurative flashlight. He gave it to me and said, you keep in here, allowing me to carry your burden, which is the message of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. James, I will guide your path. I will light and lighten your path. Friends, I heard that. And I'm doing all I can to listen. Psalm 119, verse 30 says, the teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand. God speaks through his word. We just need to learn to listen. And I would encourage you to listen to God through intentionally spending time with him in his word this week. Like we've done every week in the sermon series so far, I want you to put into practice this practical practice of reading God's word. I'd encourage you to keep praying the simple prayer, speak, Lord, for your child is listening. And I don't care where you read. I'm not going to give you a specific spot. Just make sure you're reading in the Bible, okay? Sure, you can do the devotionals. You can do the commentaries. You can do the verse of the day emailed to you. Keep doing all of those things if you already do them. But I would challenge you to read the actual physical pages of the Bible, or maybe the Bible on your phone, for at least, get this, at least 10 minutes a day. Do this slowly. Do this purposefully. Do this in a listening way. And when you do it, let's engage each other on how it's going. Hop onto the church Facebook page. Let us know how your experiences is going. Or share with us the time God spoke to you through His Word. Encourage each other through this. I just shared my recent experience. I want to hear yours. I'll be looking for you on the church Facebook page, First Free Methodist Church of Spokane. Does a flashlight speak? Or more importantly, does God speak through this? Absolutely. Let's practice listening in here this week. Let's pray. Holy Father, I am regularly amazed at the ways you choose to communicate with us. We've been practicing silence, practicing stillness, and now we practice hearing your voice through a book you have given us to get to know you better. I thank you that you've given this to us, and I pray that you would help us listen. I would pray that you would speak, Lord, for we, your children, are listening. And I would pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.